And I'll read a couple of verses of Scripture to you and give you a thought that's been on my heart and hope it'll be a blessing to you and encouragement to you. Amen. Romans chapter 1. We'll start reading about verse number 14. Read just a couple of verses, about two or three verses. And what I'm talking to you about this morning, I think I preached a week or so ago about people falling out, people falling away. And I know I've been preaching a lot on that lately, but in these latter times, we've seen so much of that. And it's so heartbreaking to see how many people fall out and how many people get out and how many people quit. And I've been in the church business or in the ministry since I was 20 years old. And in 35 years, you see a lot. And you see a lot of people come and go. And I've seen a lot of people get in church. And I've seen a lot of people get out of church. And I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking and pondering on it and dwelling on this subject and on this thought. And I got to praying about this, praying about a message and thinking about and meditating on it. And what is it that keeps some people in and some people stay in and stay? I'm not talking about staying saved. I'm talking about staying right with God. And some people, they get in for a little while, a year or two, and then they just get out. And you see some people get in and they stay in their entire life until the day they die. They got something. And you see some people, they get in and you think they got it. Me and Brother Sam was just talking a week or so ago, and you think they got it, and they're in for a couple of years, two or three years, and then they just fizzle out. And you think, man, I thought they had it. I thought they was here for good. And I wonder, I've thought about that. What is it that keeps some people going and some people seem to fall out? And I asked myself the question, and I thought about myself personally. I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about me personally. And I examined my own life. And I thought about, now, I'm not saying everybody's been through a lot of hard times and a lot of bad things, but I do know that we're all made out of the same stuff. I know we're all made out of the light. We're all like passions. We're all made out of the same mud, the same dirt out that Adam's made out of. So I know we all have ups and downs and valleys and heartaches and hardships. And I know that there's times that you feel like giving up and throwing in a towel and you feel like quitting. So don't act super spiritual like you got a halo and you feel like you never felt like quitting, because I know you have. But I get to thinking about the times I've gone through, the hard times in my life, and I was so discouraged and so hurt and so, I mean, I've been through a few times. I can look back over the years. I've been discouraged a bunch of times, lots and lots and lots of times. But I mean, I'm talking about the times that it was so bad, that it was just so bad. It was so dark and dismal and gray and cold and hard, and they looked like there's no way out. And I just felt like quitting, and I actually even wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. And I asked myself, what was it that kept me going? Why didn't I quit? I'm talking about myself. Me and Debbie talked about this a little bit the other day. And this is my own philosophy. I can't back this up with the Bible. But I believe with certain people, it's different things that keeps them going. I believe different people have different things. I know we're saved by God's grace. I'm talking about what keeps you in church and what keeps you motivated and what keeps you right with God. And I asked myself, is it the joy of the Lord that keeps you going? Is that what keeps people right with God? And that's not the answer. That's not the answer for me personally, because that's not, you don't always have that. You don't always have the joy of the Lord. You might always have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, but you don't always have that joy bubbling and running over all the time. You don't always have that. You ain't always on cloud nine, and you ain't always in that shouting, camp meeting atmosphere. You don't always have that joy. There's sometimes you, listen, I can show you in the Bible, some of the greatest men in the Bible, Jeremiah did this right here. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done. I'm not preaching anymore. He said, I'd rather go out in the wilderness away from these people, this adulterous people. He wasn't talking about the lost people. He's talking about God's people. I don't want to be around this crowd anymore. But he said, there's something burning down in my soul. And he said, I can't quit. The joy ain't always a motivating factor. I'll get to my scripture in a minute. But it's not always the joy. You say, preacher, the joy of the Lord's keeping me. Sometimes you can't always count on that to keep you going. Is it the excitement? I believe some people count on that. We've seen them come through here and get right with God and come through it during Jubilee time and get excited when we're having camp meeting. The next thing you know, 6 months later, they're gone. You better not count on the honeymoon phase. You get married and your honeymoon's over just in a little while. Is it faith? Is it faith that keeps you motivated? I got to admit, it's not faith on my part. My faith gets weak as water sometimes. I got to admit, I'm not the greatest person to pattern after when it comes to faith, people, because my faith gets weak. My faith gets weak. Jesus prayed. He told Peter, one of the greatest apostles that ever lived, he said, Peter, I've prayed to the Father that your faith not fail you. But just within hours, Peter's faith failed him. Peter's faith crushed underneath the load.
Amen.
Faith ain't always the... Listen, you might say, I have faith. I've got faith to remove mountains. And then within 6 months or less, you can't move a molehill. Is it your focus? You can't always keep your focus. Sometimes your focus is right and you're dead on and everything's the way it should be. Sometimes you're up in a deer stand looking for deer. And if you ain't careful, the next thing you know, you're looking through your scope at a bald eagle sitting up on the top of the tree and there's a buck right under your tree stand. I'm telling you, your focus will get... Is it duty? Is it duty? Just out of duty serving God? I heard a preacher say, don't serve God out of duty. I got news for you, brother. I got news for you. I've served God out of duty, but that's all I had.
Amen.
That's all I had left. I didn't have the joy, and I didn't have the zeal, and I didn't have the drive and the enthusiasm. I didn't have none of that, and I didn't have the Holy Ghost driving me or nothing. I didn't feel nothing, and all I had was just duty. I mean, I knew it's my job to do it. That's God, I know. I'm a preacher, and it's my job to get up and go preach. And that's all I had. I don't like to hear preachers preach that. Sometimes you have intervals where that's all you got is your duty. It's your job to do that. You go do it. Preacher, I don't feel like it. And your feeling ain't got nothing to do with it. It's your duty to do what you're supposed to do. But you can't live on that forever. Is it out of love? Sometimes you don't feel much of that. Be honest now. Don't sit there and act holy. When you first get saved, you're so in love with the Lord, you'll go to the mission field and live off of fried rabbit tracks. And then there's sometimes you don't really care a whole lot for the Bible. They can't pay you to read the Bible. You ain't all that much in love with the Lord. If you was, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John said, his commandments are not grievous. It's not that hard to serve God. Just serve him. Just do what he asks you to do. Amen, brother. Sometimes Jesus said, I believe it's the church of Ephesus, he said, you're doing all the right things. The one thing you're missing is you just don't love me. You don't love me anymore. I'll tell you what, I'm just preaching about myself now. In my case, I feel like the one word was, it was debt. It was debt. Look at Romans chapter 1, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he said, I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach to you that are in Rome also. The Bible said, no man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. I'm not in this by myself. I owe it to some people. I owe it to some people to keep going. There's many times in your Christian life it's going to be a whole lot easier to bail out and quit. It'd be a whole lot easier and a whole lot simpler just to give up. Amen? It would be. Of course it would. Preacher, I feel like quitting. Join the club. Join the club. Of course you feel like quitting. Of course you do. I can remind you and show you over in the book of John. Let's turn over now to the book of John. We'll just do a little Bible study this morning. Over the book of John, chapter number 6. I want to show you a heartbreaking verse of Scripture. Over in John, chapter number 6, look at verse number 66. John 6, verse 66. The Bible said, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And the very next verse, Jesus said this, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And Jesus might be asking you that this morning. Will you also go away? If you look around, there's people dropping out left and right. He could be asking me and you that this morning. Are you going to go away too? Are you going to drop out too? Are you going to quit going soul winning? Are you going to quit visitation? Are you going to quit tithing? Are you going to quit serving God? Are you going to quit Wednesday night? Are you going to quit Sunday night? Are you going to quit Sunday school? Are you going to quit your job? Are you going to drop out of the choir? Are you going to quit preaching? Are you going to quit teaching? Are you going to give up the bus ride? Are you going to quit doing your job? Are you going to walk away? Are you going to walk away from your job? Hey, we owe some people. You owe it to the Lord. You owe it to some folks to do your job and to fulfill your responsibility this morning. A man that quits is the most selfish, weak, self-centered, immature, half-rooted in Scripture in the Christian life. Amen. Right. I've seen so many people quit. Amen. You say, preacher, who are you talking about? Anybody that it hits? Yeah. I'm shooting scattershot this morning. Amen. Anybody that quits. Anybody that gives up and quits. That's why back in the old days, when people would quit, they'd shoot them. That's right. That's right. In the Civil War, when they would quit, they'd shoot them. I mean, when they had abandoned their post, they'd shoot them in the back as they ran away. They'd shoot them. Amen. You know, that's why I've never had any respect for Muhammad Ali, the boxer. His name was Cassius Clay, and he didn't want to go into the service. He didn't want to fight for his country, so he changed his name and converted to Islam and changed his name to Muhammad Ali so he wouldn't have to go fight. He's no fighter. He's not a fighter. Gets in the ring and dances around, float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. He's a sissy. He ought to wear a diaper. He ought to put perfume on. He's a big baby. He's a sissy. He wouldn't go fight for his country. I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you something about Elvis Presley. I never was a fan of Elvis Presley, but when the draft started, Elvis didn't wait for the draft. He was an entertainer. He was already famous. He went and signed up, brother. He signed up and went and fought voluntarily. You got to admire a man do something like that. He didn't dodge the draft like Bill Clinton and Cassius Clay. I mean, he volunteered and went and fought and served his country. I want to say this morning. I owe a debt and you owe a debt. First of all, I want to say I owe the Lord Jesus my life. Every time I go to the bottom or I'm in the midst of a storm and I felt like it was over, I remember where I was and where I came from and what God's done for me. He takes me back to Calvary. I remember the day that Jesus Christ saved my never-dying soul from the devil's hell. I remember what a low life I was and where I was headed. Hey, you don't have to. I ain't asking you to feel sorry for me. I know what I was. God knows what I was. I know where I was headed. And I know that I was dying, lost, undone without God. And Jesus Christ, by His grace and by His mercy, saved my soul from hell. I owe it to Him this morning to keep on plugging and keep on preaching. Amen. Oh, in my life, His life for mine. He gave His life for mine. Do you know this morning, as you sit here in church, and the least we can do is serve Him, and most people won't even go to church. Even when we do go to church, we just go on a Sunday morning at a climate-controlled church. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ laid down His life willingly and gave it all. I was thinking about the other day. I was looking through them pictures when I had that accident the other day and punctured my leg, that big old open hole. I thought about them big old open holes that they drove through Jesus' hands and his feet. Mine was an accident, but his was on purpose. And he just laid down there and they drove him big old spikes in his hands and feet. And they stretched him up there and stood him up there on that tree. And he hung there all day. And there was a point about 12 o'clock in the day, the sky grew dark. And his father turned his back on him and the sun quit shining. And it grew pitch black and the birds quit singing. And it's like the whole world died for 3 hours. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there he hung for 3 hours. And you couldn't hear a sound. I don't believe the wind even blew. The birds didn't sing. The whole world died. And he couldn't hear anything. It's like he was encased in darkness and pitch blackness. And brother, how he must have suffered in the pain and agony. He didn't have any comfort. He didn't have anything. And he had the weight of the world. He had your sin on him and had my sin on him as he hung there those 3 hours and suffered such agony and pain. And they took him down. And there was his mutilated body. They took that white sheet as Joseph took him. And they laid that white linen down there and took his mutilated body and laid it down. His body was all bloody, mutilated, and rolled him up and took him and put him in that tomb where never a man had laid and laid his body. Those women had stood there and wept and cried, and his mama watched every bit of it, laid him in that tomb, blood everywhere. Oh, but I want you to know, brother, they went back 3 days later to take some spices. Oh, brother, listen, the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away. He rose from the dead. His body saw no corruption. Thank God he came forth out of the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's our Savior. I owe it to him to keep on going. I owe it to him. I owe the Lord Jesus my life. He did it all. He did it all. I owe him my life. Least I can do is live for him. Secondly, I want to say, I owe my kids a legacy. I owe my kids a legacy. The Bible said, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 12:15, he said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. But before that he said, for the children ought not to be laid up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I owe it to my kids just to keep pressing on.
Amen.
I'm not rich or wealthy, famous, influential or prominent, but I can give them something money can't give them.
Amen.
I can give them a home with love in it and some discipline and direction and guidance, and I can give them some consistency. I've seen men fall by the wayside and quit and get out of fellowship with God and cause their kids shame. I've been to funerals, Brother Sam, in my ministry, and I've watched their kids sit there and tears run down their face, and their daddy's laying here in the coffin. And I've said to myself, I'll never do that to my kids by God's grace. I'd rather run off a cliff somewhere and be dead. Amen, I mean that with all my heart, than for my kids have to come to my funeral with shame on their face, knowing their daddy fell from a place with God and went back out in the world and brought shame and disgrace to their name and to their family. Oh, brother, I want to tell you what. Listen, I owe it to my family just to keep on staying right with God. So do you, daddies. You daddies here this morning, you owe it to your kids growing up to stay right with God. You owe it to them. You owe it to them little boys and little girls coming up. You owe it to them, mama. Mama, you owe it to them little girls to stay right with God. Live a pure life. Treat your husband right. Be a good mama. Be a good role model. Live right in front of them and go to church and serve your husband and serve God. Be a good mama, be a good wife. You owe it to them kids. I've seen so much these years. Give you an illustration. Years ago, me and Debbie went to a funeral. I'll never forget this. The pastor I was friends with, I wasn't close friends, but I was friends with him. He was murdered, shot down by an in-law for having an affair with his daughter-in-law. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget walking in that church, walking down this aisle with a family on both sides. On this side was the in-laws, and the woman that shot him was in jail. And on that side was the preacher family. What a mess. What a mess. And the kids sitting over here, tears in their eyes. Their eyes were swelled shut from crying. Over here is his wife, his widow. And her eyes were swelled shut from crying. We walked out of that church at night, that cold December night. My God, it was cold, the wind blowing. I told Debbie, I said, I'll never do that to my kids. I ain't nothing great about me, but I ain't never going to do that to my youngins. Amen. By God's grace, I ain't never going to pull no bull like that on my kids. Amen. Listen, I may make mistakes and do things I shouldn't do, but I ain't putting my kids through that. Them kids and that wife and those in-laws and that extended families are ruined, ruined for the rest of their lives. And then had to sit through a trial. Talked to a pastor not long ago, South Carolina, went to a wedding a couple of years ago, me and Debbie did. If I call the preacher's name, y'all know the pastor. He's preached here. His brother was there. Good preacher. Good preacher. Used to pastor a church in North Carolina. Good preacher. Pastored a great church, just like this one. He was on the radio all the time. Good preacher. He messed up and fell. Got in sin. Him and his wife divorced. He quit the ministry. Quit the ministry. Got him this real high-paying job. Now he travels around the country. He just travels all the time. He makes good money. He didn't make good money when he was pastor, not like he's doing now. I told Debbie, I said, I'm going to have a talk with him. Well, it's that big wedding, that big church. And finally, I got him off the corner and I said, brother, how's it going? He said, oh, it's going fine. Going good, Brother Ronnie. Going real good. Going real good. Finally, I said, brother, I said, don't you miss it. Miss what? Miss what? I said, preaching. Just like that. No, no. I said, I don't miss all them headaches and dealing with church members and dealing with a bunch of knotheads and a bunch of goats and you know how church members are. I said, no, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. I said, do you miss preaching? That boy could preach. You ask Debbie. He could preach the paint off his wall like his brother. If I call his brother's name, everybody in here say amen to that. You ask me after church, I'll tell you who his brother is. He can preach. I said, no, I mean preaching. He said, oh, I miss public speaking. He said, I miss public speaking sometimes. He said, I get to travel, and he kept talking about his job, And finally, I said, don't you miss him? Don't you miss him? Buddy, that stuck him. Don't you miss him? Don't you miss him? Well, and he changed the subject real quick. He found something else to do. Oh, I've got to go do something else. And asked his brother about his family. And his family are just everywhere. Like throwing a firecracker in the midst of a bunch of laying hens. His daughter's over yonder, and his son's over yonder, and his other daughter's over here. They ain't together no more like my family's together right here. They're gone. Because daddy, you understand what I'm saying? You owe it to them kids. You owe it to them. I saw a guy preach a funeral at one time. My family was there. Remembers this. This guy preached the funeral at a church. And I remember looking at his kids' faces while he tried to preach after he tore a church up. And kids' faces were just as blank. Just as blank. I'm not doing that to my kids. I know of three different Baptist preachers that's committed suicide in the last 10 years. And their kids have got to cope with that. I don't want my kids to have to come and look down in my casket with shame. I don't want my kids, Brother Sam, to have to come look at my casket the day I die and say, with their kids, so there's your papa. There's your grandpa. He used to be a Baptist preacher. I don't want their kids someday to hear me preach on a CD and say, who is that? And they'll say, well, that's your grandpa. He used to be a preacher. And them say, I didn't know that. Yeah, that was back in the day. That was back a long time ago. I don't want that. I want to be like my daddy was. I want to preach right up until the end of checking out time. You say, preacher, that don't sound like no big deal. It is a big deal. It's a big deal. You finish, you start right, you finish right. Thirdly, I want to say, we owe the lost world a lesson. We owe it to this lost world to show them what we preach and what we teach and what we sing about is really real. Because the lost way is a selfish way, a strange way. It's a searching way, a short way, and it's a sad way. But the way of the Lord's a perfect way, and it's a plain way, and it's a prosperous way, and it's a powerful way and a peaceful way. And the great promise for the Christian life, and there's potential, and there's purpose, and it's a privilege to serve God. And we need to show them, we owe it to this lost world to show them at what we, hey, what are we doing when lost people get right with God and when we get saved? And listen, we serve God a while, then we quit and bail out. What are we telling them? All that shouting and praising God and running and knocking on doors, and what are we telling them? Yeah. What are you telling them? There was a guy who used to come to church here. I saw his mama the other day. Ask how he's doing. He ain't doing too good. I said, please tell him to call me. I can't get his phone number. Don't know where he lives. He's out of church. Don't go nowhere. I said, I just want to talk to him. What I'm trying to tell you is, when you live right for a while and then you quit and you get out and nobody knows where you're at, that's a bad testimony in this lost world. We owe it to the brethren. We owe it to the brethren to stay right with God. The Bible said the night's far spent, the day's at hand. Let's cast off the works of darkness and let them put on the armor of light. People always want to know, what does our church have to offer? I'm waiting for somebody to walk in and say, preacher, here's what our family has to offer. We want to come to church here. That's right. The Bible said, let us not be weary well doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not, we owe it to the brethren to stay in this thing. Amen. We owe it to other people that's serving God and stayed with it and toughed it out and kept going. You know what I'm saying? Miss Brenda's been in it all these years and she ain't quit. We owe it to her to stay in it. Miss Alma stayed in it till the day she died. We owe it to her to keep on going. We owe it to these. Hey, you hear about these people that's always giving their testimony and they've been saved 3 months or 6 months? I want to hear somebody give her testimony that's been saved 70 years. I want somebody to hear somebody give her testimony that's stayed clean and stayed right with God. And I want to hear somebody's testimony like that that stayed clean and stayed with it for years. This 3 month testimony, this firecracker testimony, 3 months, 6 months, that don't do nothing for me. Amen. I'm telling you, folks. I'm trying to help you this morning. We owe it to the brethren. Listen, we need to, the Bible said, at whatever we do it heartily as unto the Lord. We don't need to have a sour spirit. We need to have a good spirit. Longevity means something in everything you do. You know I'm telling you the truth. Fields are white to harvest. We owe the brethren. We owe the brethren to stay with it. We owe those that's gone on just to press on. The Bible said we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. And those that's hanging over the banister, that's rooting us on, we owe it to them. The Bible said, Paul said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Let me read this to you. I've got a couple things I'm going to read to you before I close. In 1524, in a town in France, a man by the name of John Clark put a bill in the church door calling the Pope the Antichrist. For this offense, he was repeatedly whipped and then branded on the forehead. Going afterward to Mentz in Lorraine, he demolished some images. You know, those little images where they pray to. I'm talking about the Roman Catholic Church. For which he had his right hand and his nose cut off. That's what the Roman Catholic Church did to Christians. And his arms and breasts were torn with pincers. He sustained these cruelties with amazing fortitude and was even sufficiently cool to sing the 115th Psalm, which forbids idolatry, after which he was thrown in and burnt to ashes. Page 64, Fox's Book of Martyrs. We owe it to people like this to keep on going. Amen. Amen. I want to meet people like this. Let me read you another one real quick before we close. Francis Ribart, secretary to the Cardinal de Palais for speaking in favor of the Reformed, had his tongue cut out and was then burnt. James Cobart, a schoolmaster in the city of St. Michael, was burned in 1545 for saying the Mass was useless and absurd. And about the same time, 14 men were burnt in Malta, their wives being compelled to stand by and watch the execution. Fox's Book of Martyrs, page 64. We owe it to these people just to keep going. We're going to meet these people someday. We're going to meet them. At Pena, one woman being dragged from her hiding place was abused by the brutal soldiers, and then with a sword by which they commanded her to draw, they forced it while in her hands into the bowels of her husband. Fox's Book of Martyrs, page 71. Last one I'm going to read to you, and I'm going to close. Some they stripped naked and after offering them the most infamous insults, they struck them with pins from head to foot and lanced them with pen knives and sometimes with red-hot pincers, then dragged them by the nose. Sometimes they tied fathers and husbands while they ravaged their wives and daughters before their eyes. Multitudes they imprisoned in the most noisome dungeons while they practiced all sorts of torments in secret. Their wives and children they shut up in monasteries. Page 74, Fox's Book of Martyrs. We owe it to these people. We got it easy. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Just stay with it, child of God. Say, preacher, I feel like quitting. You think about what they did to those people. And they stayed with it. They stayed with it. While they was killing their kids and their wives and their husbands right in front of them. We owe a debt. We owe it to our forefathers and to the saints that's gone on before us. We owe it to the Lord. We owe it to the lost. Amen. We owe it to our families. Most of all, most importantly, we owe it to the Lamb of God for what He did for us. Just to press on. Let's stand this morning.